Welcome to the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. I'm your host, Matt Moore, and we're doing the Pistons offseason review, which there's not a whole lot there, but we're going to talk quite a bit about it because I enjoy talking about the Pistons. Joining me today is somebody who sometimes likes to talk about the Pistons and sometimes they drive him nuts, Dan Feldman of PistonPower.com. Great follow on Twitter. He's, you know, that site is so good at what they do. They do so many different things. A really great analysis every single time. You need to check them out at PistonPowered.com on the True Hoop Network. Dan, and let's talk about, you know, probably the most significant off-season addition, which was through the draft, in Andre Drummond. Now, I pretty much killed Drummond through the majority of the year, through the tournament. I was down on him in the draft. I warned as many teams off him as I could in drafting him. I prayed that the Pistons would pass on him, and they did not. So let's start here. Do you think it was a good pick? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
No, I don't think he was a good pick. I think he was a great pick. To get somebody at his talent at 9, and I understand all the questions, and I think they're completely fair, and I'm not convinced he'll turn out to be any good in the NBA, but with the upside he has and how great a fit he could be next to Greg Monroe, to get him at 9 is just fantastic for the Pistons.
Couldn't they have gotten John Henson and got maybe a more polished player with, you know, fewer of the questions about work ethic and focus at the same spot?
Sure, but what's the goal? If the goal is to make the playoffs next year and nothing else, I'd rather have Henson. If we're thinking long-term, trying to contend for a championship someday, you have to take Drummond. I don't think Henson's going to get to that level where he can take you over the edge. Maybe Drummond won't, but at least he has a chance to.
Yeah, he does have the chance to. That's true. I really wanted somebody that would purely compliment Monroe. That was part of it. I really wanted somebody who would just compliment Monroe in every single way and allow Monroe to focus on becoming, you know, really the all-star caliber player that he nearly was last year. I'm expecting huge things from him this year. Is Drummond, do you think, going to be able to do that? What does he bring to the table that's going to compliment Monroe that well?
Well, I can't say much about next year. Like I said, if it's only for next year, Henson could do it. But in the long run, ideally, you know, Drummond can be that big body defensively who can both defend the larger centers that sometimes give Monroe problems and come over and protect the basket, something Monroe has shown, you know, he just really isn't capable of, at least at this point. And I honestly don't see too many signs that he'll be anything above, maybe a slightly above average defender, but you need a better defensive anchor. And if Drummond can become that with his athleticism and height and physical ability, well, then all of a sudden everything starts to click, at least defensively for the Pistons.
Okay, let's move on.
I hear all the sides and I hear all the doubt, and I understand that. I'm not convinced that Drummond will become this, but I think you have to try. If you take Henson, you're just settling in and accepting that your ceiling is limited. And I don't think that's a wise strategy. I think you have to go shoot for something a little bit higher.
Yeah, but I think that they have the capability to get there without having Andre Drummond turn into, you know, Dwight Howard, you know, 1.5. Like, I don't think that they need that. I think they were, you know, they really rebounded well after that early rough start and played really pretty consistent basketball for a lot of the year. They've got their roster issues, but I feel like they've got some stuff going on there that's going to put them into a position. Let's talk about, you know, the big trade that they pulled off, you know, moving Ben Gordon to Charlotte, pulling in Corey Maggette. You know, obviously Gordon's contract played a big part of this. He, you know, he's got $25 million remaining on it, depending on the option. You know, it's going to be a question really of, and I'm looking at the numbers, you know, as we speak. What were your thoughts on that trade, and was it a big upside for them in terms of being able to manage the roster and the money, or was it kind of a step down for them?
I didn't like the trade. I get why they did it, or at least the reasons maybe why they did it. I mean, it's going to clear up cap room a year earlier. Maggette is an expiring contract, like you said. Gordon has 2 years left, and yes, he technically has an option, but come on, is Ben Gordon going to turn down $12.5 million at this point? So 2 years left, you get that cap room 1 year earlier, you can still amnesty Charlie Villanueva. So my two big questions are, who are they going to get with this cap room, and are they actually going to use it, or is this just a way to save some money in the down economic time? And I don't blame them if that's what they feel they need to do. Just as a fan, as somebody who likes the Pistons, I don't enjoy that.
Yeah, that's understandable. You know, my concerns with this roster are primarily, you know, Shai Villanueva is still on the roster, and I've defended him in the past, but there's really no way to at this point. The money's starting to come down. You know, he's got a little bit left on the deal, and they still – my bigger concern is honestly Tayshaun, that they signed that contract to at the beginning of the season. Do you see this team maybe getting bold? If Drummond works out, you know, and Knight takes a step forward and the young guys are able to assert themselves, is there a possibility that maybe Dumars will make the jump and actually be aggressive in removing some of the veteran albatross stuff that they have on roster and get it off?
Oh, you're talking about Tayshaun Prince, right?
Yes.
I mean, everybody else, their contract's coming to an end soon, or in the case of Villanueva, you got to believe it'll amnesty him. Prince, I don't know. It's complicated. I think Dumars likes him on a personal level, I would guess. I think he likes what he brings, or at least brought. I get the idea of having a veteran presence to teach the young guys, and I'm all for that. But at the same time, everything you hear about Greg Monroe and Brandon Knight is how beyond their years they are, how mature they are. Do they really need a Tayshaun Prince on the roster? Can't, even though they're young, can't they mold guys like Drummond? So I would hope they would look to move him before Prince's value is completely gone. But I don't know if it's too late. I don't know if they'd be willing to.
I think maybe the best move that they made during the off season, outside of signing of drafting Kim English, who I love, is I think it's the Jarebko deal. I think they got an absolute steal on him. I was shocked when the market came in below value on him and how easy that was for them to retain him. I feel like nobody in this league really pays attention to Jonas Jarebko and how good he is. Were you pretty impressed with their ability to get him back at that value at 4.5 a year?
Well, he signed last year, and I think that was a good signing. You know, I'll say this, for where his value is, how he's perceived, I think it's good value for what he is. For how he's perceived, I sort of thought maybe you could get him for less, and that'd give you a little bit more flexibility down the road. I can't complain because, like you said, he's underrated and doesn't get enough credit, and he's definitely worth what he's paid. Maybe other teams realize that, and the Pistons had to give him that. I don't know. It's not a contract I'm up in arms about, but it's tough to remember the last time the Pistons had a clear, great value on a contract that wasn't a rookie deal.
Who comes off the bench, Stuckey or McGiddy next year?
Probably McGiddy. I think Stuckey and Brandon Knight will be the backcourt, just because Stuckey can play point guard, and at least is what they had to do last year, and we'll see if Knight made this huge jump forward, but he was a point guard in name and probably ran the point. Maybe a little bit more than Stuckey did, but they would interchange because it was just too much of a load on Knight right away. They needed last year another guard capable of doing some of that stuff. McGiddy can't. Stuckey obviously can. So I think Brandon Knight will decide. I don't think he'll be quite there to where you can bring Stuckey off the bench yet.
All right, wrapping up, give me a grade for the Pistons offseason.
Oh, I will go with a B. Hated the Ben Gordon trade, but by far the most important thing they did was land Andre Drummond. And, you know, with a player like that, at least there's a chance to do something. All these other moves are, you know, hanging on to Jarebko and getting rid of Ben Gordon early. Those are something, and they'll take you somewhere. But with a guy like Drummond, at least there's a chance it could turn into something special.
As long as we're shooting high, we're shooting for a chance. That's Dan Feldman of PistonPower.com on the True Hoop Network. You should absolutely go read it every single day. If you're an NBA fan, if you're a Pistons fan, if you're just a basketball fan, it's always got really interesting stuff from stats and stories and all sorts of great stuff. It's a terrific site. Make sure to check it out. Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
And we'll continue on here with the CBSSports.com basketball podcast in just a minute. All right, next up on the CBSSports.com basketball podcast, I've got Vincent Goodwill of the Detroit News. Great follow on Twitter. He does all of the breaking news, great quotes from players. He's been with the organization, like working, covering the beat for quite a while. He does a really great job. Vincent, how are you today?
Doing fine. How about you, Matt?
I'm doing great. So let's talk about the Pistons a little bit. You know, I just talked to a Pistons blogger, and we were talking about Andre Drummond and kind of the upside that he brings them. What do you think the organization's thought process was with taking a kind of a risk on Drummond, even though he fell a little bit? You know, a guy that had a lot of questions, but also a lot of upside.
I think that was the key word. The key word there is upside. And I think they're willing to take a chance on a guy because they don't want to be stuck in that endless lottery wheel where you're not good enough to really make it to the playoffs, but you're not bad enough to really be in contention for that number one pick. And with a guy and a talent like that falling a nine, you know, their thinking was that, you know, there was no way you can pass somebody like him up. It's an acceptable risk, as they tell me. It's not the same amount type of risk as taking Darko Milicic number two when you got all the other type of great players behind him. But at number nine, the risk is certainly worth the reward, particularly with the players that they had, you know, ranked behind them and how high he was on their board. I think he was relatively high on their board, almost right behind Anthony Davis because of everything he could bring, because of how they see him fitting in with his athleticism and his shot blocking.
What kind of a role do you think the Pistons expect from Drummond in order to work alongside Greg Monroe?
Ideally, they're keeping in mind, and they've sort of tried to temper this almost from the moment that they drafted him. You know, he just turned 19 years old. So, you know, ideally he would be a college freshman, and that's something they're going to try to impress upon not only him but everybody else around. So this year I would say would be more so a developmental year just to see how he fits in at first. You still have Jason Maxfield, you still have John Srebko, you still have a relatively, you know, quote-unquote full front court, and if he can break in through there, then that means that he's leapfrogged a lot of dependable veterans, not necessarily great players, but dependable vets. So if they see him ideally fitting in, you know, he's the yin to Monroe's yang as far as, you know, his shot blocking. Monroe isn't necessarily a high flying player. He's a fundamentally sound ball player who can score the ball and who's exceptional on offensive glass. Drummond is one of those guys who doesn't have a polished offensive game, and they're not expecting that out of him, but he can play above the rim. You know, he can run the floor, he can block shots, he can sort of fill in the blanks. So if you were to make a perfect ball player, so to speak, you would take Monroe's skill set with Drummond's skill set, and hopefully that can be a front court that can work.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely the hope there. So, you know, they traded Ben Gordon for Corey Maggette, which obviously isn't any sort of huge upgrade. You know, clears a little bit of money, not much, but it does, you know, kind of move Gordon away. You know, does that indicate that they're maybe starting to realize, okay, it's time for us to start clearing some money off of the cap? And what does that mean for guys like Charlie Villanueva and even Tayshaun Prince?
Well, if you look at it, one thing at a time with the Ben Gordon thing, Maggette, of course, in his expiring contract this year. So with Ben Gordon having another year on his deal and making more money, especially for the production that he was getting, you know, I think they had long decided. I think they long decided after the lockout when Ben Gordon really couldn't step in and commandeer that two-guard spot early in the season. And he was averaging, you know, he was pretty much playing at the same level that he'd been playing for his first 2 years here. That, you know what, it's just not working here. He's going to have to move on and grab to get something for him. So the best thing they could do is cap space. And with the way their cap was situated this year, it didn't make sense to amnesty Charlie Villanueva because it would not have put them under the cap. Their cap number is at 67. Charlie Villanueva is making around eight and a half, so they would have still been over the cap this year. Now next summer, when they're expected to have between 15 to 20 million in salary cap space, if you amnesty Charlie in the last year of his deal, if he doesn't perform this year, then that gives you another $8.6 million. So just because he made it through this summer doesn't mean he's going to make it through next summer. And, you know, as far as Tayshaun Prince is concerned, they drafted Austin Day a few years ago with the hope of him developing into the small forward for the future by this time. It obviously hasn't happened, but you have a Kyle Singler, you have Maggette who's there this year. You know, so you're looking at it and thinking, you know what, maybe we can lessen Tayshaun's role this year. And with his number, cap number being still somewhat manageable to other teams, I think they'll seriously start entertaining trade offers for him if those other guys start to produce.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks like they're finally starting to look toward the future. It'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, how that goes. Let's talk about Kyle Singler, who, you know, I think his kind of path has obviously been really interesting playing overseas. There's been word that there's a lot to be excited about there. Are they expecting him to really be a contributor?
Yeah, they really are. You know, they didn't mind him going over. I think a lot of people were surprised that they didn't mind him going and playing in Spain. And obviously, you know, the ACB league is one of the better leagues, maybe even the best league, aside from the NBA as far as international competition. So him getting over there, getting a lot of playing time, playing a physical brand of basketball, him coming here is only going to make him a better player when he is ready to play. And he struggled a little bit in summer league. I think it was a lot of tired legs. He hadn't had any type of time off beforehand before they started practicing. But, you know, he showed a lot of promise. He showed a lot of poise. He's a smart ball player, obviously, guys from Duke usually are. So I think they're ready to kind of throw him in. They're kind of just going to look at it and say, you know, we got 10 or 11 guys who really, really want to play, and we're going to throw the ball out there, and the best guys are going to play. It's not necessarily a situation where, you know, they have a starting five set or they have a rotation set like a lot of other teams do. They're kind of almost at the, you know, let's just see what combinations fit, especially with last year being a 66-game season and Lawrence Frank not really getting a chance to, you know, implement his system the way he wanted to. Now there's just going to be an atmosphere of competition, and if everything all goes well and you have Kyle Singler, ideally he'll be pushing Tayshaun Prince at that three spot. I think Tayshaun still, with his poise and his veteran leadership and everything like that, I think that's still valuable to this team considering what other vets they do or don't have on the roster at this time. But you would have to think that a guy like Kyle Singler, with the experience that he had playing 4 years at Duke, playing in the ACB League and playing deep into that season, you would think that he's going to come in and make a strong, strong push to get a lot of playing time.
What are the Pistons looking for Brandon Knight to have worked on over the offseason? What do they need to see from him, you know, in training camp? What should he have worked on?
You know what? I think the thing is adjusting to the point guard position, because at Kentucky they did a lot of dribble handoffs. He wasn't built in the same mold as a John Wall or even a Derrick Rose, who we don't consider a true point guard. He's just a quote-unquote guard who can distribute the ball and who can shoot. And having Rodney Stuckey there as a two-guard with point guard skills, you know, can try to help him out this year. I think they'll want him to take a little bit more of those reins as far as being a natural playmaker. A lot of times he got tunnel vision last year, trying to split the defense when a lot of times the holes weren't there. And a lot of times he took a lot of physical contact when perhaps he shouldn't have. But I think now with the way he works extremely hard. He's at the practice facility, you know, virtually every day. Just for him to get stronger on that frame, he's about 180. So they want to add a little bit of bulk. Last time I talked to him, he said he gained about 10 pounds. So you would say he's 6'3", 190. And you would hope that the bulk is more so on the upper body so he can take that body contact and, you know, just do things. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be the prototypical point guard who's, you know, in the mode of a Rajon Rondo or Jason Kidd or someone like that. But to be able to set up guys to make plays, I think you'll see him, you know, improve on that exponentially this year. At least that's what the hope is.
All right, if we're going to give him a grade for this offseason, what do you give the Pistons?
They cleared cap space. They got a draft pick that was, I would say, one of the top five in terms of talent. You would at least have to give them a B. Now, obviously, whatever comes of that come the season, you know, can raise that or lower that. But if you clear cap space where they're no longer in salary cap hell, they do have a future, and you brought in six new players. I don't think they've made this type of roster turnover in almost a decade. So at least they'll have some form of a new identity coming in this season. So it could be as far as a B+, just as far as the roster makeup.
Now, one more for you before I let you go. I'm a big Kim English guy because I went to Missouri and loved his leadership and everything. He's just got a really infectious work ethic. I was pleased to see him drafted and surprised that, you know, kind of it really seems like he's starting to fit in just because he's working his way to it. Do you think he's got a good chance of sticking with this club?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They are extremely, extremely high on him. You know, coming into it, you know, a couple of people in the front office told us right after the draft, look, this is the guy you need to watch out for. He is serious. I think they view him as almost more pro-ready than a Drummond. You know, when he met Andre Drummond, he asked the front office, they said, well, how old is he? And he said, well, he's 18. He'll be 19 next month. And he said, oh, don't worry. I got him. I'll take care of him. And to see that type of leadership from a guy coming in so early, knowing that he's going to have to acclimate himself to a new city, to a pro environment and everything else, to see him try to take on leadership for another fellow young player, you know, that's something that they really, really admire. And, of course, we all know that they traded away Aaron Aflalo a few years ago in the aftermath of the Chauncey Billups trade and right before they acquired Ben Gordon in the offseason. And they really, really liked him. So, you know, Kim English is definitely in the same mold as that. And they think that he's going to be the first guard off the bench this year. So it's more than just sticking. They're going to give him a lot of playing time.
Well, that's really exciting to hear and good to hear because, by all accounts, he's a really good kid. Vince, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. That's Vincent Goodwill from the Detroit News. Appreciate it. You can follow him on Twitter. Make sure to be Goodwill. Great on Twitter. Covers every single game. Lots of really good quotes. You kind of really get a feel for what goes on, you know, behind the scenes with the team, and a really great cover there. Vince, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, man. Appreciate it. Thanks again, man.
That'll wrap it up for the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. You can catch us on Facebook. And we're in iTunes. Subscribe to us there as well. Thanks so much, everybody.